I'm John Perry.
And I'm Liz Eyre.
And this is Selected Prose.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, John.
What's
up? Hey, everybody else.
Hey, everybody
who's
else.
Listening. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
So, John, I had such a fun time talking with Sam Pink. I mean, after we got off the Zoom call, I felt energized, you know, I felt excited about writing again. And I was just really grateful that Sam came on to talk to us.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. We didn't know what to expect, you know? I mean, I think we talked about it in the interview, but his work and the man himself, they're kind of like punk rock.
I know. And is he, yeah, I was worried he was going to be mean and maybe also maybe make fun of us or something. I was like Stamping was going to bully us or.
Yeah. Like he was going to be one of those like cool people in high school with the leather jacket who's like transcends all cliques and doesn't want to speak with anyone and just.
That's exactly what he was in my mind before we spoke with him. And now he kind of still is that, but he's like, he's nice.
Oh my God.
Nice guy also.
He's certainly nice. He certainly is like loves writing, which is apparent not only through the lessons he gives us in this episode, but the work itself. Extremely humorous. I always get the sense, I always feel that I can tell when a writer's enjoying themselves when working, and generally it makes me enjoy myself when reading. And
yeah, it reminded me of something he said during the interview, which was like where he has this belief that whatever he puts into something it is going to translate to the audience, even if it's not explicitly spelled out. And I think that that's such an interesting way of approaching creating anything, to kind of like go in with a certain energy and just trust that that energy will be conveyed and come through what it is that you're producing. And I certainly sense that with Sam's you know, love of writing translates to a really enjoyable reading process, really enjoyable text, and you know, the humor and the storytelling, it definitely translates. And I'd say he's like one of the most readable writers that I've ever come across. And whenever I have friends that don't really read, you know, Sam's like a great writer to give to people like that, because it's so readable. I had a friend of mine just moved down to Florida, and she's been down there, and she was like, oh, I really want to get back into reading. I don't have a lot of time to, you know, I haven't had a lot of time to read previously. And now she's just lounging by the pool. And I was so grateful that she asked me to send her a bunch of books. And it was funny selecting them though, because it's like, I'm not going to send her like, I don't know, Tolstoy or like, right. Or like a lot of the books that I like are actually kind of boring, you know, or like aren't really a great read for people that don't read all the time. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of them are kind of, it's like when it comes to recommending books to people that are not voracious readers or can pick up on what's, you know, place a text within its historical time period or whatever, it's like, what do you recommend? Certainly Sam Pink. Yeah. He's definitely a blast, you know?
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of writers like that, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I don't know, I think sometimes like the canonical stuff obviously is always great to read to as like a form of education. But oftentimes, you know, it's like authors in discussion with themselves or with, you know, at least the artists within their movement. And Sam feels like it's a discussion with real living, breathing people, like everyday people. I don't know if I'm describing that correctly. Sounds like Bukowski, but it's not that, because it's, I think it's far, it has more of like a sensitive, hopeful side somehow. I don't know how he pulls it off, but he does.
I think it has something to do with having fun with it, right?
I mean, we talked a lot about that
in the interview.
So for the uninitiated,
he's
the author of...
Do you want to fill people in? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's the author of Person, which is a book... The first book I read by him, which I couldn't recommend highly enough, Ron Tell, which I have not read yet, but
it was the first book that I read by him, and I can't recommend it.
Yeah, there you go. He's also he's doing like $15 signed copies. If you go on his Twitter, Sam Pink is alive. You can get him. He's shipping me a Rontel to my parents' house, so I'm not bored over Christmas break. So that's exciting.
Great.
Yeah, and then he has written a whole lot more. He's the author of The No Hellos Diet, Hurt Others, one of my favorite titles, I Am Going to Clone Myself, Then Kill the Clone and Eat It, The Garbage Times, / White Ibis, two novellas, and most recently, The Ice Cream Man and Other Stories, which we discuss quite a bit in the interview.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, if you like Sam's writing, he's also an artist, and it's been cool to see what he's produced visually, and he sells a bunch of prints and stuff online through Twitter. So if you guys are interested, check out his Twitter and you can buy some of his artwork.
Yeah. Yeah. He's extremely prolific guy. Yeah.
One thing I was really, really surprised by when we interviewed him was his voice. I'm like, this is one of the reasons I'm so grateful to be doing this podcast, because beyond getting to ask all these questions, these writers we really admire, like, I just want to straight up hear what writers' voices sound like. And Sam has a really interesting voice. So if you're, you know, if only for that, you should listen and enjoy this interview.
The other thing I love is how much his literature is about work. I've had this weird feeling lately where I like read books and I'm like, is it a weekday? And if it's a weekday, like, how are all these things happening? Because like, everyone's working.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely not fun to write about, but it's like, well, what do you mean you just like,
they're like having all sorts of adventures and going to dinner parties and going to museums. It's like, are you okay?
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Every American novel should be set between like 6:30 and 10:30 p.m. because everybody's trying to work and whatever. So I appreciate that aspect of it. All right, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Sam, what's up?
Nothing much. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for coming on. It's funny. I was telling John that I DM'd you like a long time ago on Twitter because my friend Ben lent me one of your books. Like, it was Garbage Times and White Ibis, and he lent it to me. And I felt sort of bad about, because there was a rat in my house and my roommates were freaking out about it, and the rat got into my room and it ate like the corner just of your book. Like, it like gnawed into your, like, just the bottom of your book.
I recall this now.
Yeah. And I was like all stressed out because Ben had lent it to me, and I was like, sorry, a rat ate your book. But it,
yeah, there must be something to that, because I seem to recall somebody else telling me about like a rat eating a ton of, well, I think it might have been like an old publisher who had a bunch of them in a box or something, and like a rat ate through all of them. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is. There must be something to it. Like, if I trust someone's instinct to eat a book, I guess it's a rat. So I guess that means something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was telling John, I feel like from reading your work, I feel like if I had to assign any kind of like spirit animal to your books, it would be the rat.
Yeah, I think it changes over time, like, but for sure at one point, yeah.
Yeah,
Everybody needs to have rats. Everybody needs to have at least some rat, like, ready to go, you know?
Yeah, some rat material.
Ready to go.
There's always, yeah, you're living in your world now, but eventually you might encounter a bit of the rat world, and if you don't already have that in you, then it's going to be foreign, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody get ready for the rat world.
The way
I grew up. Right, I mean, I'm not even saying it's coming. I'm just saying if it does, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
You could do story time for the rats. They would like it, probably.
No, it's been great for me. I mean, I was aware of your work, but only recently, I just want to say I finished Person, which was phenomenal. And
kind of want to just talk to you about like where you started writing, like what caused you to pick up the pen?
I feel like maybe it didn't start as that. Like it just started as doing other stuff. Maybe like I was interested in playing the drums when I was younger. And then I don't know why I'm mentioning that. It just seems like having like being interested in doing something like that, like some kind of hobby type thing, always appealed. And then I feel like writing is just probably the easiest of all of them, right? Like you barely need anything really, which is kind of nice. Like you don't think about it. It's like the equivalent of like just playing, like if you have a basketball, you can play basketball somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know, if you're into music, like I was into music, but then it's like, how do you, you know, you kind of have to luck out to find the right other assortment of people and then, you know, be able to like work freely and do your stuff or whatever. And then, you know, art for the longest time, like you need to buy a bunch of supplies and have, you know, space and shit like that. You know, like writing, I mean, writing is just like, actually, like when I was younger, like I actually still just used a pen, you know, so that's all you needed was like a pen and some paper and like, it was something to do, you know, yeah. I guess that's like a long answer to just say like something to do. And it just kind of stuck, I guess.
Yeah. And it's like the cheapest option. It's like,
oh yeah. It's like, the most easily coordinated. Yeah. It's just right there. And then there's really no, I mean, even then, when like publishing on the internet started getting bigger, that was even like even a more streamlined aspect of that. You didn't even have to like send your stuff to somebody and do whatever. It's just all pretty much whatever you want to do, you know? And I guess, you know, there's pros and cons to that or whatever, but, it's just, it's always been something to do, I guess. And like, I enjoy it. So.
Person, and I know some of your other books are Thumbs Down Press. And I was just wondering, is that your press or is that something you started?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just something that I put on there. But that's me putting out all the books I have on there. Those are ones that I put out myself. Yeah,
it's cool. It's like we're talking to this guy next week, Delicious Tacos, but he's made like an interesting thing out of self-publishing, and it just seems to be like, I don't know what your experience with it has been, but it does seem to be like a viable alternative. And kind of like,
yeah, well, I've actually talked to him too. I've talked to that dude, and I would say he's probably like a very like a good example of that thing. Like he's talked about the like how, because you know he's in charge of his sales and shit, and like he knows for the longest time I never got a sales report like until I started doing shit myself. But like he was posted some numbers, and I was like, man, there's no way that I sell that many books. So I was like, fuck, you know, there's something to that, you know, like there's like absolutely no way in hell that I sell that many books. So that's, I was like, fuck, dude. So I'm just like, I guess the answer is like, you know, that's what I mean. Like, that's cool. I think that's good. Like, do whatever you want, you know? And if you can publish your own shit. And I mean, obviously again, there's pros and cons to that too. Some people refuse to buy from Amazon. There's all kinds of shit, you know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I guess my answer is that like I always, regardless of what the actual material is, I like that. I like those kind of routes. Like someone just being like, you know what? I'm going to just do that shit, you know, because it's such a process, like, you know, sending your stuff out and then waiting for people to approve of it and then like putting it out and then you're, you know, whatever. But and so that's kind of what I was leaning towards too. I was like, man, like it's just easier just to be like, here's what it's going to look like. The book is inside and that's it, you know? And, you know, there's not like a whole, I mean, for me, it just makes sense. It's just less bullshit that I have to get into, you know, but it also gets zero promotion. So there's that, you know?
Well, yeah, it's like you definitely promote the or you got your visual art out there on Twitter, but like I'm sure if you wanted to, you could be.
I mean, I guess what I was getting at is like, yeah, like anybody can publish anything they want, but then like there's that, you know, it has to like do its own thing. And with promotion, it's kind of strange. Like promoting visual art is like, here it is. That's the thing, you're looking right at it, you know? And like, if you like that, let me know and whatever. But with a book, I always forget because, I don't know, it's been like kind of like, I don't know, it's been like 10 years now or something. So I was like, I feel like I'm probably out of touch with, you know, models or whatever. But I feel like I always forget, like, oh, if I just put something up, then maybe I can sell some books. You know, I kind of, I don't really do anything at all to promote them. So I it makes sense. Like, you know, like it's every once in a while, I feel bad, but every once in a while I'm like, hey, I have some books. If you want them, let me know. And then that's it. But like, I always forget that you have to, you know, like, there's people who have like never read anything you've done. So if you just, if they come across like something that you post or whatever, this all sounds like so obvious, but I guess like, I've never really thought about it out loud, you know, like,
yeah, but
promoting books is weird. And but
it is weird, and like trying to get them published and like trying to do this like traditional weird route that nobody really knows how to do in terms of like publishers and agents and
yeah, like
navigating deals and all this stuff seems really convoluted and
so much schmoozing. Weird.
Yeah
I was I remember like a couple years ago thinking like, oh, there's no way that the old model of doing this is going to survive much longer. Like people always talk about like, oh, it's going to be the death of this or the whatever, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of shit. But that's never, that only just means like that in the old way that it was done, you know, like those things
right.
like are going to endure, but it's going to be done a different way. And I remember thinking like a couple years ago, it being pretty obvious that like, there was some type of like, maybe not a new model, but like, just many different things that you can do. And so, I don't remember where I was going with that, but,
well, that's a good approach though. I mean, cause it's like, yeah, people are like, oh, nobody's reading. Nobody cares about books. Nobody's going to buy books. Nobody's going to publish them. And it's like, well, of course it's going to change from the way that it was, I don't know, when we were kids, when there was this totally different structure and, you know, society and the internet didn't exist and all this stuff. And it's like, people still seem to want to read, you know, I mean, it's
oh yeah. That's
but...
always, that's so silly to me. I think about that a lot, actually. Like, what do you, I mean, like I probably read in one way or another more stuff now than I ever have. Like, it's like words all the time, you know? And so I never understood why people are like, that's not going to go anywhere. It's probably one of the oldest, it's like one of the oldest forms of like I mean, obviously communication and like entertainment and all that kind of shit. Oh, I think my point was, is that, a while back when I first started, I guess, trying to do this and like kind of trying to understand how it would be different, then I was more inclined to just be like, all right, if I make something that I like, if I make something that I think is cool, and then hopefully somebody else will think that, and then it'll just like work on its own, you know, like a while ago, I kind of like resigned myself to not being like, well, I need to get an agent and I need to publish with this person and all that shit. You know, like it was more like, since everything's so free and open, then the only shot you really have, if you don't have all that other stuff or the right schooling or I don't know, whatever you want to call it, then you can just put stuff that you believe in out into the world and then it will do something, you know,
mm-hmm.
like you can't even really account for the next step. You can just really do that and then other shit will happen and you'll figure more stuff out. So I guess that's what I was getting at with the promotional thing, because I don't do any promotion really.
Mm-hmm.
But then people are like, oh yeah, like, you know, I borrowed my friend your book and they liked it. And, you know, that's kind of like what I'm hoping for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And it's funny because you're one of the few writers that I've come across, like from friends recommending your books, you know, I feel like there's a certain setting that intention kind of allows for maybe like a certain kind of collective like magic of stuff being passed around and shared and you know and it's cool.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, to take the pressure off of like trying to, you know, conform to any sort of typical structure of how things should be done, how things should be written, how things should be shared, and it allows for a lot of innovation, you know. and just like truth and doing what you want to do, which definitely I can see in your work.
Yeah, I think you're right. That was something that I didn't really express it. Like it leads to, like, I guess like a more, there's like a bond or something rather than it being, cause another thing, the flip side of like the internet and all that is you can get a lot of hype and appear to be kind of everywhere with that too, you know, cause it's just kind of like you can bombard people with stuff and there's just different methods or whatever, but really the thing that like endures is when, is that kind of, spread like you just mentioned, you know, like your friend tells you or whatever. So,
and that's the coolest stuff. Yeah, that sort of, because it's so mysterious and who knows when that happens, but that's the best way to discover stuff. Like I love, like, whether it's music or paintings or books, like when a friend recommends something that's resonated.
Yeah, because it's
like there's
more,
no way,
like,
to,
it's kind of like there's more meaning behind it. It's more meaningful and intimate because there's something about that thing that the person, like, it made them think of you in some way. And so then they want you to experience it. You know, it's just more of it rather than being like, oh, that, that popular, you know, whatever, that channel or that, you know, somebody told me that this thing is cool and I don't even really know them, or some ad company or whatever, you know, like that's, there's no real bond there. You might end up liking that thing, but I think what you're saying is that's more what that's like. It's more of a bond.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm wondering too, just like about, because Liz and I were talking about how, I guess, like the way that you utilize the internet and stuff to get yourself out there, but also it had me thinking about the form of your books. Like we both took a class this year together about like the short novel, and your work tends to be, your novels tend to be, you know, shorter. And I was wondering if that's an intentional kind of thing, you know, if it's like a response, for example, like, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke with B.R. Yeager. I don't know if you're familiar, but he was talking about a novelist is not competing with another novelist anymore. They're competing with Netflix. And there's a way that you try to capture attention. And I was wondering maybe if like shorter works for you are a way of doing that.
Yeah, I don't, the length of the book thing has always been kind of interesting to me, because people definitely put a lot of worth into it, or there's like, it seems to have been like a heated debate I've noticed among people. And they almost always seem to take the either or stance on it, you know, like they're like, oh, you know, there should never be like a 800 page book, or anything that isn't 800 pages is like bullshit. And that's fine, like, cool, whatever you like or want to do, you know. But for me, that's always been kind of weird. Like your thing is exactly the length that it should be. You're not putting in more than should be in it. I don't think anybody's ever done that. Like been like, this stuff definitely doesn't need to be in here. I'm going to put it in there, you know?
Yeah.
Or, mm-hmm. And so you're also putting in everything that it needs and nothing that it doesn't. So that's kind of how I've always approached stuff. And I think for novels, for me, that tends to lend itself to being shorter. But that's also like, you have to keep in mind, like, I don't think I could write a good long one. Like, if, I think if I did what I do or whatever, and it was really long, it just wouldn't be good. Like, you don't want to hear like a 10-minute Ramon song or something, you know, like, mm-hmm. that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, you got to know like what you're doing. And for me, that always just leads to stripping things away, but I don't really put, I guess there is something to what you're saying, though, in that, like, given people's attention spans now or something, the shorter thing would have a better chance. But I don't think like that in advance either. I don't think, you know, I'm not like, oh, how am I gonna compete with that latest Netflix series or whatever. It's just kind of like, what is this thing? Is it a short story? Is it longer? Like, what is it? You know, work on it, and then it usually just kind of like comes out. I mean, I don't want it to be longer than it needs to be, I guess I'll put it that way.
Like, at the most extreme. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, at the most extreme end, why not just cut everything then? Like, why are you putting anything? Why are you doing anything? You know, I mean, like, it gets kind of crazy, you know, like there is something. And so like, what is it? And then do it and then get a good idea of, like, I guess, when I'm like working on something, I just try to be honest. Like, is this good or am I bored by this? Or just, you know, like if you read something a couple times and at the same part in like two or three times, you have the same thought, like, I don't really like this part, then take it out, you know, like, mm-hmm. And, if you're reading something and you're like, oh, I like that, then keep that in it. It sounds kind of dumb, but that's, you know, like, that's just, what I do, because by the time like I want someone else to read it, I would hope that there's nothing in there that I wouldn't want in there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like working with an editor or some shit, like by the time I give it to them, I'm at least at a point where like I don't really see anything else, you know? There might be more stuff to do, but I'm not seeing it, you know?
Well, you can tell reading it. I mean, everything seems like it's supposed to be there. I'm never like, oh, that line is super unnecessary. And, you know, even in the way that you like space out your paragraphs and these line breaks and stuff, it necessitates that it's like, okay, well, we have another line break here. The next line better not be boring, you know, or unnecessary. So everything does seem like really essential as I'm reading. And yeah, I was just saying before, do you like get everything out and then cut a lot as you're writing? Like, is that a big part of your process?
I think what I try to do is like observe like whether or not it's like a time to be adding stuff. Just come like at first, it's just kind of like nothing is wrong, you know, like if you have some thoughts on something or whatever, just put it all down, put down stuff, even if you think maybe that's not even good or whatever, and just mm-hmm. put a whole bunch of stuff down. And then, at a certain point, I feel like I tell myself, like, okay, don't add anything else because it's so inclined one way that when you start adding other stuff, then it's kind of like, it just, there's like a, it feels tonally off or something. So
right,
yeah,
like I feel like for me, like, process.
Yeah, or even like you become different, like at that point or something. There's I could, you know, there's probably all kinds of reasons or whatever, but I think to what you're saying, it's usually like, okay, now it's time to only think about cutting stuff or changing it. You know, don't the stuff is already here, and don't make anything else up or put anything in there.
So many of these stories in your latest book of stories, it's like they're so vivid, they kind of feel like they were written right after something happened. Like, do you often write, like, does something happen in your life and then you're like, oh shit, I have to write that down. Like, there's something interesting happened, like, I'm going to get this down. Or, like, is that part of your process? Because it just felt like that reading these. It kind of felt like, you know, like a friend had, like, a thing happen to them in their day and they were just telling me about it as if it had just happened.
Yeah, I think sometimes maybe if there's like a certain way somebody said something, then I'll write it down. Or it's usually like it has a lot to do with memory. Like I've noticed that if I can remember one thing, then I can slowly branch out and remember most of it. You know, like if I remember one thing that somebody said that was kind of like, huh, that seems, I don't know, for whatever reason, interesting to me, mm-hmm. then I can be like, oh yeah, and that was after that happened, and then, oh, that was because of that, and that kind of thing. So I think a lot of it is like is just memory based, but there it is always better to write it down in the moment if you think to write it down, because there's been plenty of times when I just completely forget shit too. So
I worked in a restaurant for I worked in several restaurants for several years, and I never knew what a ramekin was until I read your stories. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck really is a ramekin? I was like, that's a detail that makes me feel like you started with the ramekin and worked outwards. It was just funny. I mean, it's hard to like talk about a short story on the podcast because I don't know how many people have read it or whatnot. But the dishwasher and the sandwich maker, that was like, that threw me back, right? Like, did you work in a kitchen, I would imagine, for some time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was
it's something that I'm glad that people, that seems to be something that people have picked up on, not picked up on, but they're inclined to talk about. And that's cool. I think like if you've like done that before, you kind of know it's like its own world or something. There's people that you will only encounter in the kitchen, you know?
And absolutely.
There's shit that you will only get into. There's stuff that will only happen in the kitchen. And the food shit is crazy, man. Like the people who are in the food business for like life are they're brave people.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Every chef that I've met is like totally fucking crazy. I didn't know that was a thing until I started working. And so I had some kitchen jobs and I was like, wow, this is like, it was like in an admirable way. You know what I mean? Like just like what people say, like living like a rock star or whatever like that. It's those people, but like in ways that are like mind blowing, you know?
For sure. I could see somebody picking up these stories and being like, wow, that's a dark kitchen he worked in or something. But it's really like, it's extremely realistic. I mean, the excessive language, like the fucking picking up a rat with tongs and throwing it in the trash. I mean, maybe that's like whatever, but the way they talk to each other, just the constant cynical humor. I mean, it put me right back there in a weird way. Like, I don't think I had the constitution to do it for life, but it kind of made me like long for it again in a weird way.
Yeah, that's funny. I feel like that's probably the main quality of it that I guess unless you've like worked there, you wouldn't get that. There's like a constant, it's sort of like, it's one of the more stressful job environments. Like even I've worked in a number of different fields or like felt like I've done, you know, hard work and then tedious work and all kinds of shit. But that's a combination of things that it's fucking intense. And so you're kind of like always stressed out, but then people are being so overly negative and like nightmarishly dark that it makes it's like instantly funny. Then like you really do, like at least I did, like I really appreciated my coworkers, you know, cause like a lot of times I'd get a kitchen job and a couple of days in be like, oh man, I can't, there's no way I can fucking do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you start joking around with people or whatever. And it kind of becomes like your own ship, you know, like you're on this mission every night. And then it makes it like way more bearable, which I've always thought sucks. Like these, like your employer is squeezing all this work out of you and, you know, making you miserable and they're not paying you well. And then you're also like the therapist for your coworkers, you know, like you're also responsible for each other's like mental well-being, which is like, it's cool, you know, but yeah, the kitchen is definitely like that.
It's crazy camaraderie. Yeah. But I mean, it's like your stories, sandwich maker and the dishwasher, like it's interesting to me that they don't deviate from the kitchen. Like there's not another setting, which for me to think about carrying action all the way through from like one night in the kitchen, I don't know how I would do it, but it's like it reads almost like a page turner. I mean, mining action out of, you know, an evening rush is just like something that I really appreciated.
Yeah, I think back to the that's kind of like the editing thing, like there's clearly really no plot there, I guess, you know? And so when I'm working on it, like, I think, okay, is this like, there has to be other ways of making it transition or whatever. And so I try to think about that, like in terms of events. And I do kind of remember while working on that one, thinking about that a lot. Cause yeah, you're in like the kitchen the whole time. So.
Yeah. Well, for anyone who hasn't read it, I mean, I would definitely recommend it. It seems like, it's quite experimental, but you absolutely pulled it off. And I think I want to work in a restaurant again.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, shit.
People are too polite in offices, you know? I'm just, I don't hear any creative.
That is
language.
The thing. It is, yeah, it's pure, it is pretty much pure combat. Like, that's kind of another, like, aspect of it all. Like, people are going to be like, there's always a test, you know? Like, mm-hmm. So in a different work environment, people are like passive aggressive, but there it's kind of like, since you're all, you know, so intertwined, it's like if you mess up, then everyone's night gets messed up. So it's kind of like there's a trial, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I was like 15. I was in expo and I got horrifically shouted at by a waiter who, I was was late putting the ranch dressing on his plate or something. He's like, I got kids to feed. So I was like,
yeah,
God damn it. I didn't mean to mess up your life, man. But
that's always a funny dynamic too. The like, I guess they would be front of the house. Right. And so like,
yeah,
it's a funny dynamic where they like, they'll come back there and then they try to like sweet talk certain people cause they need a certain thing or whatever, you know, cause they're, like their tips depend on it. Like it all makes sense, but it's just a funny, that's like a funny divide too, like how people divide themselves. Like it is always like kitchen versus the front every time, no matter what. In every situation, it will always be, oh, you know, they're doing something wrong up there or they're doing something wrong back there. It's like it's the life force of that shit.
For sure. I remember when the server comes back and the dishwasher and she's like, you all belong in prison.
Yeah, that's pretty much probably was something that was said verbatim, but also just usually pretty true. That's a good indication.
There's lots of like, I feel like there's so many interesting characters in your story, Sam. And like, have you found that, I don't know, just like thinking about during the pandemic and people being isolated from one another and encountering less people in the world, like first, I guess, like, has that been your experience? And second, like, has that affected your writing, like being kind of more isolated over the last year or so?
I agree about the character thing. I think that's just something that I'm interested in. Like certain people are obviously characters, you know, there's something about them that seems like singular. And so for me, like it's never like, and to me that means this, like, and that's why I'm going to include them. It's more just like, this is kind of it's almost the equivalent of like, I don't feel like I've actually ever even written badly about anybody. Like I've never thought to myself, like, oh, the purpose of writing this is going to be to make them look bad. It's always kind of like, huh, this is an endearing person in some way, you know? And so it's more just like telling your friend about a funny story or something. But to the thing about being in seclusion or whatever, I was already working on something. I had something to work on. So that part actually kind of worked out. But I definitely have noticed that it's like, there's something about encountering people that, well, I mean, this sounds really obvious, but I have noticed it, you know, like just, I've thought to myself sometimes like, wow, the only person that I've talked to for like 3 days is like someone at the post office when I go mail something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they're like, which not is cool, like weird, it's like kind of a bummer. Like, my one time to talk to another human being. And I know
it was weird because then you're like, I've noticed that it's like, I had this thought like, something like, how do you talk to a person exactly? Like if you're out somewhere, it's kind of like, you want to just be like, hey, you know, how are you? Or I don't, you know, but I feel like probably a lot of people feel that way. They're just like, it would be cool to talk to somebody, but I really don't have anything that I want to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
I know.
Just like, hey, can you believe this shit? And then they're like, yeah, I can.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I've been sitting in the park a lot in New York. I mean, it's gotten too cold to sit in the park now, but and I don't know if it's just because I'm a woman, but like, but like a lot of people have come and just sat down beside me, all men typically, but you know, it's like, whether they're hitting on me or not, I think they just genuinely just wanted to chat, you know? It was like, and it felt for a while, I was going to Washington Square Park because it was near NYU, and like, it did kind of feel like this whole group of people that were all just coming there to sit and being like, I'm available to say hello. Like, I don't really know how, but we're here.
Yeah.
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 Or even just being around people, you know? Mm-hmm. Just not even like talking, just to a degree of like, okay, like I'm not, you know, because I mean, obviously I feel like people, no matter what, are spending like unprecedented amounts of time like at home and probably alone, you know, which is not the worst thing every once in a while, but it's, I feel like at this point most people are just like, you know, you like, people are like, oh, I just want to go and whatever, like just fucking buy a candy bar at the gas station or some shit. You know, like it's just kind of shit where you're like, man, what exactly are people doing right now? I had that thought walking around today. I was like, what is everybody doing exactly? You know?
Yeah. What is everybody doing? I have no fucking
Yeah.
Is this cool? Like, is this okay? I don't know how this, why wasn't this happening before? If nobody had to do anything really, then
like everything, nothing has burned down. Like maybe we could just keep doing this forever.
Yeah. Maybe. It's strange.
So I was kind of curious too about like, what, if any, writing practice do you have, or like, did you have before COVID, or have you adopted like a new one?
Yeah, I definitely don't have a, I don't have the thing where it's like, I got to do X amount today or, and I think personally, I don't believe in doing it every day. Like, to me, there's just sometimes nothing there, you know? And so, I mean, I guess it probably can't hurt or whatever, but for me, if I have something, then I work on it. And then, the only practice I really have now is just absolutely making sure that I do it. Cause like there's, like I said, there's like so little going on that, it's kind of like, okay, well then just make that your job. You know, if you got nothing else going on, like just commit to doing that for, couple, like one or two sessions a day or something. But for me, it's like, if something is in the stage of just being like edited finally, then I can look at it every day, you know? But in terms of actually writing new shit every day, I go long periods of time without doing anything.
It's kind of refreshing to hear because I feel like everybody's always like, oh, my number one advice for young writers is 1,000 words a day, no matter what. Get up and sit at your computer. I'm like, well, what if I'm brain dead because there's a pandemic and I've been looking at a wall for 9 hours, you know?
It's funny, like, I mean, so, okay, maybe you will find that writing 1,000 words a day is good for you, you know? Okay, maybe that's your thing or whatever, but for me, it's always weird when somebody has a direct, like, idea for somebody else, you know? Like if you were to ask that person, like, okay, can you show me any evidence that you have that somebody wrote 1,000, that writing 1,000 words a day is going to suddenly unlock my view of the world and like who I am and how I, you know, write and whatever. There's, that's just, it's baseless, you know? And so like, I feel like, I don't begrudge anybody, whatever they do, but I'm kind of like, damn, it sucks when people are like, oh no, here's what you got to do. You know, it's like, no, that's crazy, you know?
Especially when it's like this good. Arbitrary 1,000 words. Like, it's like, right, okay. Yeah.
I mean, personally, like I'll go a long time without doing anything and then write like 4 sentences and I'm like, oh damn, that felt good. You know? And then like, that's it, you know, like there's, you know, I mean, I guess the idea behind writing every day, I guess logically then eventually you will have done it a lot. So you have practice, you know, but, and so I guess there's, you know, maybe never a downside to practicing, but for me, it's more like, okay, now I have this thing that I want to do and that's interesting to me, so I'll do it. And then, you know, and then it gets easier to work on every day because you have something that's already there and you can read it over and over again. But yeah, the time off in between doing shit or even just deliberately not doing anything is good. I mean, you're, no matter what kind of writing you do, it's going to be filtered through who you are, you know? And so taking some time off or just like living your life or whatever, you don't always have to be, you know, that introspective or writing things down or any of that. Like a lot of good can come from not doing anything for a while.
You're an artist too, right? So you at least like are, do you feel like you're always kind of doing something creative with your time generally? Like you're inclined to be working generally, or do you have kind of periods of your life where you're not painting, you're not like, I don't know if you play music, but where you're just kind of like hanging out, working and living?
Not as much anymore. It's usually one or the other just because, it seems to be easy to tell when I want to do one or the other, like, oh, it'd be fun. Like I've been working on writing for a long, long time now, last couple months. And so like, getting back into drawing and painting sounds really good. Like it sounds nice to have like a more immediate type of thing and, you know, not working with words and all that stuff, but it is usually one or the other at this point. But there's also just absolutely nothing to do now, like we've been talking about. So
yeah, that's what we've been trying to do with this podcast, is like, I don't know, it's good to hear everyone's perspective about like how they approach writing or whatever. But given that there's nothing to do, I think a lot of people are like trying to start new projects or like trying to finally like focus on the thing that they've been wanting to do. And yeah, I think it's hopefully has been helpful for some people, like the episodes we've had in the past or whatever. But it's like refreshing to hear you say, to hear your approach, at least for me. I don't know about you, Liz.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people have told me to like, yeah, just like sit there and just like, just give it a go. Like, even if I just don't feel like writing anything and I hate it, like, well, just sit at the computer and do it, you know? And I don't really want to. So yeah. Like, why would I do that? And then there are other times when I do want to. But like you said, you know, it's like everybody's different. And I think ultimately, it's just about discovering what works for each of us individually and what we like and what makes life more meaningful and fun.
Yeah, for sure. And like, just, I would say like, that people like stress about it. It's weird. Like this is something I've noticed, with like writers, is there's this kind of like tongue. I don't know if tongue in cheek is the right way to express it. I actually don't know what that means, but, where they're like, oh God, you know, writing, am I right, you guys? You know, it's like,
right. Yeah,
no, like, sure. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing that? Like, dude, yeah, exactly. Like, there's like this weird, I honestly cannot explain the exact quality that it is, but it's kind of like, it's weird. It almost, you know what it is? It reminds me of like reality shows from like 10 years ago, how it's like always like there's some dumb situation going on that's like not consequential at all, but then they cut away to somebody who was involved in it, and then they give their take on it, and they're always like really stressed out, you know? And then it's like, that's what that reminds me of. It's like, just like, dude, relax. Like, this is, it's not like you're building furniture or something where you're going to mess it up. Like, just, it should be, it shouldn't be that stressful. Like, I obviously, like, put your, you know, work hard and shit or whatever, and try hard and, you know, challenge yourself or whatever. But like, the idea that it's like this constant stress for some reason, I never really got that. I'm like, this is the one time that I don't feel that stressed out, you know, like I have something to do. It's right in front of me. It makes sense. And that's it, you know? But
yeah,
it's totally. it's a weird neurotic way of looking at things, but I guess whatever works for people, you know.
It is weird.
Maybe it works. I don't know.
People like are like proud of the fact that they're like being destroyed in the process. I'm like, you're not supposed to like kill yourself over this. You're supposed to like have something related to joy. And like,
oh yeah, definitely. I don't believe it any other way, man. Like, no matter what you produce or do, there is some element of joy that like sparks it or keeps it alive or makes it worth looking at. Like, that's the element that's being felt by that thing, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I was going to kind of like, not to put you on the spot, I guess, but you sort of answered my question, but like, there are certain writers, at least from my perspective, who, and maybe it's simply because like your work, it's filled with humor. I mean, I laughed out loud on several occasions reading Person and Ice Cream Man, but like I can sometimes sense on the page like that a writer is enjoying themselves while they're writing something. You know, it's not like this tortured like Kafka thing where you're crying and, you know, you have some extreme anxiety about finishing. And I just kind of wanted to know, like, well, actually, speaking of Kafka, there's like an old story that he would like laugh to himself out loud when he was writing certain scenes.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that was like some weird tidbit that I remember that people said that he was laughing a lot while working. And that makes sense to me. I mean, it was always weird to me when someone was like, oh, this is such a negative book or something, you know? And it's like, no, maybe the feelings that went into it were initially negative, but the actual like making a book out of something is like one of the most positive things you can do. Like, it's by definition a positive. You created something out of something that was like gnawing at you or whatever, you know? So I never understood. I mean, like I said, I don't think that means that you shouldn't work hard or, you know, maybe like experience some pain while working on things or whatever. That's fine. But I mean, but yeah, the whole, I don't know. It's like, that's, for me, it feels good and I enjoy it and I feel just markedly better after doing it. Like, you know, it's some kind of experience that, in the same way of like exercising or, you know, hanging out with people you like or whatever. So yeah, I never got that, the stress about it or whatever.
So I saw some, who knows, I might've seen it on Twitter or whatever. It was a very positive review of your work, but I think they described it as like nihilistic or something, which I completely disagree with. And I think it kind of goes back to the idea that you're never writing about like these characters in like a hateful or a bitter or a satirical way. It's like, I think that the people that you're writing about, and correct me if I'm wrong, are for the most part, like at least the narrators in your stories treat them with, if not outwardly, certainly inwardly, like a measure of love and respect, regardless of their like economic situation or you know, like their mental health. Like I'm thinking of Blue Victoria or whatever, but in that way, it seems to be almost the opposite of nihilistic literature.
Yeah, I mean, I remember having that conversation or debate or whatever, like earlier on, and so whatever, like I have my thoughts on it, but I think ultimately it doesn't really matter. I mean, what I've noticed is people will attach that to something that is on the surface kind of dark or whatever, but it's not. I don't know, kind of like a simple way of looking at it, I guess. You know, for me, it's more about how you actually deal with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and like I said, even, I don't know, for me, it's calling a book nihilistic. I don't understand, like, it would be way more nihilistic to not, write a book, you know?
Right.
If you were like, hey, I have all these thoughts. Yeah. You would have just been like, there's no point to doing that. By nature, you believe that that's worth doing. You did it. So there's belief there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think with people, it's often like, ooh, this is a thought or a reality that is a little bit uncomfortable. And then it's like, oh, well, that's nihilistic. And it's like, it's almost like people who, it's like, I don't know, for some reason, I just imagined like a Nine Inch Nails fan or something. Or like, the idea that they think of nihilistic is like a Nine Inch Nails song or something. It's just like, there's absolutely nothing nihilistic about it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it were to be like, everything sucks, I hate everything.
About Nine Inch Nails.
Well, no, I'm saying, like from my end, like I've never,
yeah,
like I said, there's, never, it's anything but a lack of belief, yeah. For whatever reason. I don't even, can't even really explain it, but there's some belief there that that's important or meaningful. And so absolutely. That's what,
yeah, you know. You're like transmuting a feeling or an experience and giving it even more meaning. And like, I mean, yeah, just essentially the idea of creating anything is pretty, I don't know if hopeful is the word, but it's definitely not, you know, not giving a fuck. Mm-hmm. Like you're definitely giving a fuck if you're making something.
Yeah. And there's also just like naturally, that implies like aesthetics to some degree. You have aesthetic beliefs that culminate in the thing that you make. And so that means that you have an understanding of beauty in the world, you know, and so you're not a nihilist or whatever. But again, the funny thing is that throwing shit out there about a book, like kind of that kind of stuff, that to me is kind of nihilistic. You know, it's like you're being negative and trying to reduce the belief of something to nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it, like I said, ultimately it's fine. It's whatever. Like I don't really, you can't really debate how somebody sees something, you know? I mean, obviously you can raise some points and have your opinion or whatever, but ultimately that's kind of just like whatever.
Yeah. And I only really raised it, 'cause I was like, I read that. I was like, there's no way Sam views his work as nihilistic. Like, you know, I mean, just the humor alone. And what is your relationship with like writing funny? I mean, is it, I mean, would you admit, first of all, that your work can be very funny? And second of all, is it something that you like? I mean, maybe I'm just totally off base and I'm like laughing for the wrong reasons, but I think that there is an element of humor. So like, what's your relationship with like comedy and fiction or just comedy in general?
It's always been important to me. I mean, I feel like for me, I mean, yeah, I do think it's funny. Like if I put it in there, I probably laughed at it at least the first couple times that I read it or thought about it.
Yeah.
And then I've also noticed that there's been times when I put something in that I myself was like laughing about, but then I realized like, I don't really think there's any indication to anybody else that this is funny. And then like, the editor will bring it up and I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting, because I had a feeling that it was, but it's just strange how that stuff works. But, yeah.
Can you think of any examples of like stuff that you were like, oh, this is super funny to me, but like everybody else is like, that's not funny. Like,
no, it's more like, I can't think of any specific things, but it was more like I realized maybe while working on a book with like an editor or something, I would be going over stuff and then they would mention that. And I was like, that's funny, because to me, that's extremely funny. But if I'm honest, I really can't see any joke there, you know, there's nothing. So
right,
you know, that's like a whole, right. That's a whole different conversation. It's like, I have a weird belief that if you put the energy into something a certain way, it will be received that way there's a strange tie. But
yeah. I think you're right. I mean, it's so true. It's funny. Like I see that particularly with poetry. Like I just took this poetry workshop this summer and I'd never written poetry before, and it was so weird how people knew exactly what I was gesturing at with these words that to maybe somebody who wasn't reading poetry would seem like nonsense. But it's like you can really decipher and pick up on the energy that's put into writing, I think.
It's interesting because I think it helps you begin to trust what you're inclined to do, which I think is a good thing. Like there's all kinds of mm-hmm. doubt, and I mean some doubt is good, obviously you want to challenge yourself and whatever, but what I've noticed is the more that you rely on just whatever you think is right, it usually works out that way, like almost every time. And so
totally
for me, that's I guess with the humor thing, that's what it is too. Like if initially I thought it was funny, then I'm just going to trust it, and then that usually works. But for me, it's not like writing doesn't have to be funny. That's not like, that's just something that I do, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really think, though, I'm starting to discover that I believe that all good artists or writers or whatever have a sense of humor. They definitely have at least an average sense of humor, if not a very good sense of humor. There's something about it. I feel like it's one of the grand like qualities of life. Like, you know, like obviously you should be able to experience happiness and sadness and love and all that kind of stuff, but humor is like it's a very strange one. And so I've noticed it among people. I've noticed a good sense of humor among all people whose stuff I like, actually.
It's kind of like almost like the highest form of intelligence in my mind. Like, I don't know if that's just my value system, but I think it has to do with what we were talking about that peculiar almost like energy transference that happens in jokes, where it's like, I don't know why this is funny, but it's fucking hilarious. And then like other people pick up on it, and it's this weird, intangible, magical thing. And being able to like be sensitive to that in the world and like trust your intuition to identify and follow those leanings or whatever is really unique. And and like, yeah, I guess intelligent, I don't know if that's quite the right word, but like special.
It's also just, you know, like if you jump out at somebody, they're going to flinch, you know, and that makes sense. Right. But there's something weird about like saying something and then somebody laughs. That's a strange, or like even I've noticed like when someone will say something and then I'm laughing, it's kind of like, like you can't make somebody sneeze. You know what I mean? It's weird. It's a weird thing. Like, you can't not, like, it's impossible not to laugh at something that you think is funny, you know, like that there's like a weird power there, you know, there's all kinds of truths that you can deny and work around and say no in the face of and all that. But when something's funny, you will just laugh, you know? So
Yeah, I think Norm MacDonald at one point was talking about like how comedy is the only like objective art form or something, because it's like people either laugh or they don't.
Yeah, no, that makes some sense. I've always thought that about visual stuff too. It's just that people have been clouded into thinking they can't appreciate it. But for me, it's always like a yes or no, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I can, anytime I see something, it's like, oh yeah, or I just don't feel anything, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kind of, yeah, but that's, I mean, that's how humor is, I think, to an even finer point.
Do you have, I guess when talking about comedy or comedic writing, or at least writers with a sense of humor, do you have like a few favorite writers that inspired you, or that you've either, or that you've been reading lately, or sort of a guiding light in terms of writers?
I remember thinking, have you ever heard of the book Why Did I Ever? Mary Robeson. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was definitely a like, whoa. I remember reading that because it's like a bunch of short, like really short chapters. I guess she wrote them on like note cards or something. But
yeah,
to me, that was an example of like, whoa, like it's extremely funny to me. And there's, I don't really think there are that many jokes there, if that makes sense. Like it's almost kind of like,
totally.
It almost reminds me of like the humor in like Frederick Bartholomew stuff. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's funny, but it's not exactly like a punchline type of thing, you know? And then another book that I remember laughing a lot at was The Mezzanine by Nicholson Baker. I definitely remember laughing, and there's definitely no jokes in that, but it's like something about the precision. I don't know if you guys, that book, it's like, it's not, it's just like, he's like riding the elevator or whatever up the mezzanine on his lunch break. And it's just like his thoughts, but it's a whole book. And so, for whatever reason, the shit in that was just really funny to me. Like he was just remembering shit really precisely. And so I remember laughing pretty hard at a lot of that.
Yeah. There's like a certain unexpectedness too. I mean, that's probably how you felt about the mezzanine, is how I feel about the dishwasher and the sandwich maker, which is just like, there's something comical about like honing in extremely and with like almost absurd precision on like a single moment in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's sometimes that's what makes me laugh, is it's not even like some funny irony or whatever constitutes most jokes. It's like a moment where I tell myself exactly what's going on, and it's just really funny to me. There's so much shit that'll happen to you where you're like, this is what's going on right now. And it's just, it's objectively funny.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like a lot of times people brush over like the more finer details of stuff, but that's just one way of looking at it, you know?
Yeah, there's a passage in your book Person that I really laughed hard at, which was the narrator's questioning. I'll just read it. I'm lying on the couch listening to the pigeons outside. I've been pretty worried about getting cancer. Do I already have it? Did I get it when I accidentally touched my eye after being on the subway today and not washing my hands? And he follows this train of thought that I think is like so familiar to people, but that no one allows them. People don't allow themselves really to like follow that twice. Like maybe you do it on the train when you're there and you're like, oh, I shouldn't be touching my eye or whatever. But like go back home and like focus on that level of detail. and like, and then like write it again, to me is funny, but also it just follows like this kind of like anxious train of thought really well.
Yeah, I remember early on, I think maybe someone mentioning, like I took notice of the fact that just my thoughts on something, people would find them strange or whatever. And so I was like, well, maybe if I just write them out, then that would be interesting to read. You know, I just figured that they were, but then the weird thing is that a lot of people say stuff like that. They're like, oh yeah, that's how I think too, you know? And so it's weird because there's shit that can make you feel really alienated, and then if you just kind of are straightforward with it, then other people are like, oh yeah, I'm like that too, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's good, you know? Everyone feels like a lot more relief. Like I felt a lot of relief from that, you know? Like if I think back around the time of writing that versus now, when people are like, hey, that was cool, it's like that feels good. I'm glad, you know?
Well, thanks so much for talking with us. It was great.
Yeah, thanks a lot for talking to me, and I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for coming on, Sam. It was a real pleasure to talk to you and lots of fun. And yeah, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. I'll talk to you.
All right, that was Sam Pink. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll be back with our next episode. We're sitting down with Delicious Tacos. Looking forward to that and to seeing you again.